This is Bloomberg, the first word for this August 30th, 2016. Coming up on the program...
Will the Federal Reserve move in September? We'll have a live interview with Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher.
Salaries in the UK are weakening as employers hesitate following June's Brexit vote.
The European Union is poised to fine Apple billions of dollars over its tax arrangement with Ireland.
Could Russia tamper with U.S. elections? Plus, tropical depressions around Florida and North Carolina are forecast to get stronger. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Walk-off win for the Mets. Beat the Marlins on a Yoenis Cespedes home run. Yankees lost in Kansas City. Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal among the winners on opening day at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word, on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg, the first word being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. And this morning, S&P E-mini futures are unchanged. Dow E-minis higher by just 7 points, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are unchanged. In Europe, London's FTSE is unchanged. The CAC in Paris is up 1%, as is the DAX in Frankfurt. And 10-year Treasury prices are lower by 7/32. The yield at 1.58%. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.75% to $47.33 a barrel. COMEX gold is lower by 0.25% or $2.90 an ounce to $13.24.20 an ounce. The pound trading at $1.3067. The euro at $1.1168. And the yen at 102.30.
Stocks in Asia finished today's session mostly higher, and Bloomberg's David Inglis has details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and John, positive day across Asia on Tuesday, mostly, that is. I mean, moderate gains, especially across some of these underperformers that we saw from Monday. South Korea closing just over a third of 1% higher. Australia higher, but just under a fifth of 1%. Both those markets, like most of Asia, really, clocking in their first day of gain since mid last week. Japan, on the other hand, of course, closing flat after Monday's 2.3% gain. Worth noting, though, in that market was another highly successful and well-received bond auction in Tokyo. Sale of the two-year JGB here, bid to cover 4.5 at a yield of negative 0.2%. China closing a tenth of 1% up in the equity market. Over 70 Chinese companies released results, which UBS described so far as solid. And the bank sees this set of earnings really as a positive catalyst further when you look at Chinese A shares. So overall, positive session, though volumes like over the past 2 weeks, far from ideal, about 20% lighter across the region compared to this month's average. David Inglis, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Thank you, David. Equities in Europe this morning also trading higher. Bloomberg's Anna Edwards joins us live with details from our London bureau. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, John and Bob. European stocks are stronger this morning so far, shaking off a worse-than-estimated euro area confidence number, which just came out a few minutes ago. A weaker euro boosts some exporters, with automakers moving higher. VW is one of the car makers on the rise as the company's CEO sets out a time frame for turnaround efforts to bear fruit. Matthias Müller says it will take 2 to 3 years for the revamp to pay off. Mining stocks are a drag this morning. Citi has downgraded its six-month view on global metals and mining to bearish, reversing its upgrade of the sector after the Brexit vote. On the Brexit front, bad anecdotal news on UK wages from search engine Adzuna. It says the average advertised salary for job vacancies dropped 2.4% year on year in July. Meanwhile, UK mortgage approvals slumped to an 18-month low in that same month. John and Bob.
All right, thanks to Anna. The European Union is expected to conclude today that Ireland provided Apple with illegal aid through a favorable tax arrangement. The decision could cost the iPhone maker billions of dollars and stir concern among hundreds of other companies. Bloomberg's Alex Webb covers Apple from our San Francisco bureau.
It implies that the situation is perhaps worse than the initial reports had suggested. There was a story out last week from the Irish Times. They were saying it's just a couple of hundred million. The worst case scenario is this is $19 billion.
And that's Alex Webb in our San Francisco bureau, that $19 billion figure from Bloomberg's Alex Webb. The worst case scenario, according to J.P. Morgan. Other news from Apple, the company has sent out invitations to an event in San Francisco September 7th, where it will likely introduce its latest product upgrades.
The dollar is strengthening today against most of its peers ahead of our interview with Federal Reserve Vice Chair Stanley Fischer this morning. Meantime, PIMCO Chief Investment Officer Scott Mather tells Bloomberg he would like to see policymakers stop providing what he calls forward misguidance.
It has been more like misguidance in terms of describing a reaction function, in terms of describing a development of the economy that would cause them to do certain things, which then they haven't gone forward and done. So probably the best thing they could do to regain that credibility and to get control of market expectations is just to follow through, maybe provide a little bit less of that forward misguidance, but to follow through with that monetary policy reaction function, which means hiking interest rates at a faster pace than once a year, until they get back to something that's closer to normal.
That is PIMCO Chief Investment Officer Scott Mather. Morgan Stanley is also weighing in on the prospects of a rate increase. The bank says in a client note that the Fed will forego a rate hike next month and recommends buying five-year treasuries.
And, of course, join us later this morning for this live interview with Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer. He's going to be sitting down with Bloomberg's Tom Keene in Washington to discuss the health of the U.S. economy on the prospects of a rate hike as early as September. You can catch the interview on both Bloomberg Radio and Bloomberg Television at 6:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
And to recap, S&P E-mini futures are unchanged at this hour. Dow E-minis higher by 4 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 2 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is unchanged. The CAC in Paris and the DAX in Frankfurt, both up 1%. Tokyo's Nikkei closed lower by 0.1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 6/32nds. The yield up to 1.58%. And COMEX gold prices right now down 0.25% or $3.30 an ounce to $13.2380 an ounce. World and national news up next. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Forecasters believe a tropical depression will strengthen to a tropical storm later today along North Carolina's Outer Banks. A warning has been posted. The weather system is currently about 125 miles southeast of Cape Hatteras. Meanwhile, a second depression is brewing in the Gulf of Mexico. It is about 240 miles west of Key West, Florida. Todd Kimberlane with the National Hurricane Center says the system will likely curve back to the northeast in the coming days.
We're calling for rainfall totals of 3 to 7 inches over parts of the Florida Peninsula through Thursday, and there could be isolated amounts as high as 10 inches along the west coast of Florida.
Officials in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area are making preparations. In Japan, Typhoon Lion Rock is making landfall. Bloomberg's Andy Sharp has more from Tokyo.
This is the site of the massive earthquake and tsunami that occurred in 2011, as well as the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant that suffered a meltdown in the disaster. The Meteorological Agency is warning of a potential record rainfall in the area. They're also warning residents of potential landslides, powerful gusts, and severe flooding. This is Andy Sharp, Bloomberg News in Tokyo.
Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid is asking the FBI to investigate the threat of Russian tampering with U.S. elections, including the possible falsification of results. A new national poll shows Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump by 7 points. According to a Monmouth University poll, that's down from 13 points earlier this month. Clinton leads 46% to Trump at 39%. Libertarian Gary Johnson has 7%, and the Green Party's Jill Stein has 2%. Brazil's suspended President Dilma Rousseff responded to 14 hours of questioning from senators at her impeachment trial yesterday. Bloomberg's Anna Edgerton has more from Brasilia.
She cautioned against removing an elected leader on allegations of accounting irregularities she said were common practice in previous administrations. In spite of her strong performance, allies admit it will be hard to win over enough senators for her to return to office. Anna Edgerton, Bloomberg Radio, Brasilia.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. And now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Steschauer.
All right, thanks, John. Mets and Marlins both chasing right now the Cardinals, the last playoff spot of the National League. The series began at Citi Field with a pitcher's duel between Miami ace Jose Fernandez and Mets spot starter Rafael Montero. Scoreless in the eighth inning, it was 1-1 in the 10th.
The pitch. Swing, high drive, left field, and it's going to go. And the Mets are going to win. Home run! Up comes the apple. Out come the Mets out of the dugout. Jose Reyes is the first one standing there. He's dancing. He's waiting for his buddy. Here comes Cespedes.
On WOR, his 27th of the year, Mets won 2-1 as six pitchers combined to allow only five Miami hits. St. Louis won, so the Mets still trail the Cards by 2.5 games. Yankees are 3.5 out as they chase a wild card, but there are five teams ahead of the Yanks, like Detroit and Houston, who both won last night, and Kansas City, who beat the Yanks 8-5. Royals scored three runs in the first inning, then put it away with a five-run seventh that included an Alcides Escobar three-run homer. D.D. Gregorius had three hits, two RBIs for the Bombers. Michael Pineda fell to 6-11. Opening day at the U.S. Open, first-ever men's match at the brand-new grandstand court produced a battle of Americans. John Isner came from two sets down to defeat 18-year-old Francis Tiafoe in a fifth-set tiebreaker. Another match with two Americans, also involving an 18-year-old, but Taylor Fritz fell in five sets to Jack Sock. The Denver Broncos announced the winner of their quarterback derby. Little-known Trevor Siemian, the third-stringer last year, will now QB the defending Super Bowl champs. He beat out Mark Sanchez. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Steschauer. John?
All right, thanks, John. And the Atlanta Falcons have closed financing on their new $1.5 billion stadium a year earlier than executives originally projected. Funding for the stadium, which opens next year, includes $200 million in public money backed by and $200 million from the National Football League. The other $1.1 billion will come from the newly financed debt, seat, license sales, and equity contributed by the Falcons owner, Arthur Blank, and his partners. You're listening to Bloomberg. Still ahead, we'll look at sustainable finance in the Bloomberg Brief segment. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures, they're flat. Stay with us for our live interview with Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fischer.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning to you once again. I'm Bob Moon at Bloomberg World Headquarters with your Bloomberg Radio Business Flash. Brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at SEIC.com/imagine. S&P E-mini futures are virtually unchanged this morning. Dow E-minis higher by 10 points right now, less than a tenth of 1%. NASDAQ E-mini futures are down less than a single point. In Europe, London's FTSE is up a tenth of 1% now. The CAC in Paris and the DAX in Frankfurt are both up 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 6/32. The yield at 1.58%. West Texas Intermediate crude up by 1% now to $47.39 a barrel. Brent crude higher by 0.8% to $49.67. COMEX gold prices down 0.2%, at $2.70 an ounce to $13.24.30. The pound trading at $1.3084 and the yen at $102.25. That's your Bloomberg Business Flash. Now let's check other news around the world. Good morning to you, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Bob. A tropical weather system off the coast of North Carolina's Outer Banks is forecast to strengthen in the next day, bringing winds up to 45 miles per hour. Right now, the tropical depression has winds of 35 miles per hour and is about 115 miles southeast of Cape Hatteras. It is forecast to become a tropical storm this afternoon. Another tropical depression in the Gulf of Mexico could hit northern Florida as a tropical storm later in the week. The FBI is warning state officials to boost their election security. The FBI has said that there's evidence that hackers have targeted related data systems in two states. In sports and baseball, the Yankees lost to the Royals. The Mets beat the Marlins. The Red Sox and Nationals won. The A's and Orioles lost. In tennis, day one of the U.S. Open began in New York. Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic advanced. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John?
Right, thank you, Michael. And it's now 5:20 on Wall Street. Let's bring in our first guest this morning, Bloomberg, the first word. Hans-Günther Rediger, Managing Director, Global Head of FX Strategy at Morgan Stanley, joins us from London this morning. Hans, good to talk to you again. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good morning.
It's kind of a fascinating dynamic that takes place within the Federal Reserve. Friday, you had Yellen speak. We had, I was trying to follow the smart money with the bond market, and you had rates fall. Then they went up again, and then they fell just back and forth. And you had Stanley Fisher come out, and I don't know if he was clarifying what Yellen had to say, but we're waiting again for Fisher this morning to speak to Tom Keene, 6:30 Wall Street time. What do you expect to come out of that?
Well, first of all, this clarification is required. When you look at the speech of Janet Yellen, there was no time stamp in that speech. So it was not linked to a very specific time when to hike rates. It was only saying that the Federal Reserve is getting closer to hike rates, and nobody would deny that. But the Stanley Fisher comment then minutes later gave it a time stamp. And that made that speech so influential. Now, the question which is now raised in the market is, are we in an environment where when the Fed is going to hike rates, maybe as early as September, that you remove uncertainty in the market, and therefore after that you would have a risk rally? Or are we going into a situation like we had set in January? And just to remind you, we did see a December rate hike, and then later on in January, it became clear that the global economy was not stable. We did see a substantial U.S. dollar rally. We did see capital outflows from emerging markets. And by February and then again in April, the Fed was backtracking. And this Fed backtracking had a lot to do with what happened to financial conditions in the United States and globally. Now, when we are looking at our growth profile, then we think that by the end of this year, the U.S. economy is going to be slower. And if the Fed is going to hike in September, that could be interpreted as a preemptive type of hike. But it can be then, under circumstances of weaker economic activity in the later part of this year, interpreted as a mistake. And under those circumstances, you will have volatility coming back into the marketplace. Yeah, so that is what we have to watch out for.
All right. They remind us every chance they get that they're data dependent. But I got to wonder, like, what is in the driver's seat? And I suspect that maybe the bond market's in the driver's seat.
Well, you would say so. But I guess that we have to look at the fundamental environment, too. So you have a labor market which is strong, whereas the unemployment rate is dropping to levels which suggest full employment. But on the other hand, you have inflation not getting to target. And that is a big manko. And we have to ask ourselves, why is this? This has a lot to do that we're operating in a low productivity environment. It has a lot to do that investment returns are dismal. And when you have low productivity, you see, too, that corporate profitability is in decline. So when you look at corporate profitability and the impact that could have on inflation, wouldn't you need to have corporate profitability to be stronger to get higher wages? And do you not need higher wages for inflation expectations to pick up? And if all that is true, we can get to a situation where inflation is going to stuck below target, which is in particular dangerous in an environment of a lot of debt in the system. So you can have deleveraging coming back into play, and then you're in there, which had been precisely described by Larry Summers in his latest article.
Just real quick, I got about 20 seconds left. Is it a no-brainer at this point that we're going to see stronger dollar?
No, I don't think so. I think it is not a non-brainer simply because if this is perceived as a mistake, then you will have a flattening of the curve again, and then the U.S. dollar is going from strength back into weakness. And that is still our forecast. We think that over the next two or 3 months, the U.S. dollar, in fact, is going to be lower when compared to current levels.
All right, Hans, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Hans Gunter-Redeker, Morgan Stanley, the head of FX Strategy, joining us from London this morning. And, well, let's look at the FX market right now. Euro 111.70, seeing some dollar strength. Yen 102.29, that is weaker. And sterling 130.82. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word. Well, you heard Hans Gunter-Redeker just say that he and the rest of the market are looking to Bloomberg this morning for guidance. 6:30, Tom Keene sits down in Washington with Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. In 1 hour, we'll bring you a special interview with Federal Reserve Vice Chair Stanley Fischer. Meanwhile, PIMCO's Chief Investment Officer Scott Mather tells Bloomberg he would like to see Fed policymakers stop providing what he calls forward misguidance.
It has been more like misguidance in terms of describing a reaction function, in terms of describing a development of the economy that would cause them to do certain things, which then they haven't gone forward and done. So probably the best thing they could do to regain that credibility and to get control of market expectations is just to follow through, maybe provide a little bit less of that forward misguidance, but to follow through with that monetary policy reaction function, which means hiking interest rates at a faster pace than once a year, until they get back to something that's closer to normal.
That's PIMCO Chief Investment Officer Scott Mather.
Analysts who watch the European Union expect it to conclude today that Ireland provided Apple with illegal aid through a favorable tax arrangement. The decision could cost the iPhone maker billions of dollars and stir concerns among hundreds of other companies.
Mondelez International walking away from takeover discussions with Hershey. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
The move came 2 months after its $23 billion bid was rejected by the chocolate maker. According to a statement, Mondelez said it saw, quote, no actionable path forward toward an agreement. The merger would have transformed Mondelez into the world's largest candy company and given it a bigger share of the domestic market, a weak spot for the snack giant. Hershey generated almost 90% of its revenue in North America last year, with the majority of that coming from selling chocolate in the U.S. Mondelez, meanwhile, has suffered from currency fluctuations and slowing overseas economies. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Charlie. United Airlines has hired Scott Kirby, the number two executive at competitor American Airlines, to be its president. Kirby will report directly to CEO Oscar Munoz. The surprise move fills a key void at United, providing a potential successor with deep airline roots. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P E-mini futures currently unchanged. Dow E-minis higher by 6 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down a single point. 10-year Treasury prices down 6/32. The yield at 1.58%. West Texas Intermediate crude is higher by 0.8% to $47.38 an ounce. And Brent crude is higher by 0.8% to $49.69. Stay with us. We've got your latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Officials are warning of flooding today in low-lying areas as a tropical weather system off the coast of North Carolina's Outer Banks approaches. Forecasters say top winds could be around 45 miles per hour. Todd Kimberlane with the National Hurricane Center says the system could become a tropical storm by this afternoon.
We think that it's going to be a tropical storm then, and that's why we have a tropical storm warning in effect for a portion of the North Carolina coast right now.
Northern Florida is bracing for similar weather as a tropical depression approaches from the Gulf of Mexico. That storm could also head for the Atlantic coast. The FBI is investigating what's believed to be hacking attacks on at least two state election boards. The alert from the Bureau did not identify the states affected or what type of data was stolen. According to the alert, the FBI is requesting that states contact their Board of Elections and determine if any similar activity to their logs, both inbound and outbound, has been detected. Los Angeles County Registrar Dean Logan says his office is taking every precaution to protect voter databases.
We don't want voters to be alarmed about the integrity and the validity of their votes coming up in November, and we want them to know that we're taking the appropriate steps to protect their personal data on the voter registration side.
It comes as Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid is asking the FBI to investigate the threat of Russian tampering with U.S. elections, including the possible falsification of results. In New York State, donors who give more than $5,000 to nonprofit groups must publicly disclose it. State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman won dismissal of a lawsuit by the conservative advocacy group Citizens United. They sued to block the rule, arguing that their First Amendment rights were being violated. We're learning of the execution of two senior North Korean officials on orders of Kim Jong-un. The officials were killed with an anti-aircraft gun, according to a South Korean newspaper. A senior official in the education ministry was arrested for dozing off during a meeting with Kim. He was charged with corruption before being killed. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. And that's time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Yankees ran into a hot team last night, Kansas City, trying to make it back to the postseason, win a third straight pennant. Royals have won 18 of the last 22. They beat the Yanks 8-5. The game ended with Joe Girardi watching on TV, ejected in the eighth inning for arguing balls and strikes.
Two different strike zones tonight. It's unfortunate. I mean, you hear their broadcasters talking about in the eighth and the ninth inning. I don't know why. I'm frustrated by it. I don't know if you give their catchers credit, but I can look at the last inning. I can look at the inning before that when I'm in watching on TV, and I see it. 1-0 is a lot different than 0-1 a lot of times, and it's frustrating because these games mean a lot.
Baltimore lost, so the Yanks still 3.5 out for a playoff spot. There are five teams ahead of them. Mets and Marlins are both now 67 and 64, both 2.5 behind St. Louis in the NL's second wild card chase. Dramatic Met win at Citi Field, 2-1 over Miami on a Yoenis Cespedes walk-off home run. 10th inning, Mets had tied it in the 8th when Jose Reyes scored on a wild pitch on a collision at the plate. Mets got 6 scoreless innings, albeit with 6 walks from Rafael Montero, just up from Double A, his first big league start since April of last season. Across the boardwalk from there, U.S. Open, now a retractable roof above Arthur Ashe Stadium, where last night Novak Djokovic won in 4 sets over Jerzy Janowicz. It was the first time he's dropped a set in an opening round Grand Slam match since 2010, Djokovic has been bothered by a bad arm. His serve velocity was down. At one point, he needed a trainer. The second match didn't end until 1:45 in the morning. Latest ever for a women's match, Madison Keys, 3 sets over Allison Risky in a battle of Americans. Earlier, a first-round loss for Puerto Rico's Monica Puig, who just won the gold medal in Rio. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. And we say good morning to Ed Curry.
Hi, John. Donors who give more than $5,000 to nonprofits in New York must be publicly disclosed. State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has won dismissal of a lawsuit by the conservative advocacy group Citizens United. It sued to block the rule. Citizens United had argued its First Amendment rights were being attacked and its donors feared backlash if their support of the group were revealed. Caesars Entertainment has won a temporary halt to lawsuits that could force it into bankruptcy. A Chicago federal judge agreed to give the casino giant time to appeal a lower court ruling that favored dissident bondholders seeking to enforce billions of dollars in claims. The 52 Miss America contestants will be officially welcomed today to Atlantic City. This year's competition is the 96th in the history of the pageant, which started as a way to extend the summer tourist season in the resort for an extra week beyond Labor Day. And that's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Curry. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. The teen-focused clothing chain Abercrombie & Fitch reports quarterly results this morning. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The one-time high flyer has been struggling. Analysts say A&F is likely to report a 14th straight quarter of declining sales. How investors react may depend on same-store sales and what executives have to say about sales trends and the back-to-school season. The consensus is that A&F will post an adjusted loss of 20 cents a share on revenue of $783.5 million. A majority of the analysts who cover A&F give the retailer a hold rating. Abercrombie gets 18 of them. There are 7 buy ratings and 3 sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Get a measure of consumer confidence in the U.S. economy due out at 10 a.m. Wall Street time today. Economists forecasting the Conference Board's index declined to a reading of 97. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word desk.
In July, the Consumer Confidence Index registered 97.3, retreating from a five-month high. The Conference Board report is based on a random sample of 3,000 households. The prior report showed a measure of present conditions rose to the highest since September 2015. That was offset by a drop in a measure of consumer expectations for the next 6 months. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
And Morgan Stanley predicting the Federal Reserve won't raise interest rates next month. The bank telling investors to buy five-year treasuries, even as they're heading for the worst month since February of last year. Fed funds futures currently indicate a 36% chance that policymakers will raise rates at their meeting next month. That's up from a zero probability in late June after the UK voted to leave the European Union. And PIMCO is seeking to expand in Asia. The $1.5 trillion money manager in the process of hiring more than 20 people over the next 2 years to help cover major retail banks in Hong Kong and Singapore. The firm says it also intends to target newer markets such as Thailand, Malaysia, and the Philippines. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, the S&P futures are flat. Dow futures also unchanged. NASDAQ E-mini futures down just slightly. You're listening to Bloomberg, The First Word. This is Bloomberg. The Tri-State Business Report brought to you by T2, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning to you once again. I'm Bob Moon at Bloomberg World Headquarters. And the dollar strengthening versus most of its peers. U.S. Treasuries retreating as investors await comments from Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer today that may provide clues on the timing of interest rate increases. You'll hear that Fischer interview with Tom Keene live right here 45 minutes from now on Bloomberg Radio and television. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. And right now, U.S. stock index futures are in something of a holding pattern. S&P E-mini futures down a single point. Dow E-mini futures up 2 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 5 points. Treasury prices, the 10-year down 7/32nds. The yield at 1.58%. West Texas Intermediate crude is higher by 0.75% to $47.35 a barrel. Brent crude up by 0.75% to $49.64 a barrel. COMEX gold prices down 0.3% or $4.10 an ounce to $13.23 even. The pound trading at $1.3078. The yen at 102.30. And that is your Bloomberg Business Flash. Now let's check news around the world. Here's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Forecasters are calling for a tropical depression to become a tropical storm before brushing the North Carolina coast today, bringing heavy rain and high winds to the barrier islands. And the National Hurricane Center in Miami says another tropical depression in the Gulf of Mexico could hit northern Florida as a tropical storm later in the week and possibly head toward the Atlantic coast. Tributes are pouring in for actor Gene Wilder, who died. Wilder, who was in classics such as The Producers, Young Frankenstein, and Blazing Saddles, died after complications from Alzheimer's. Mel Brooks said Gene Wilder was one of the truly great talents of our time. He blessed every film we did together with his special magic. Gene Wilder was 83. In sports, Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost to the Royals, the Mets beat the Marlins, the Red Sox and the Nationals won, the A's and the Orioles lost. In tennis, day one of the U.S. Open began in New York. Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic advanced. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, and the headlines just crossing on Apple. Let's bring them to you. European Union has now concluded that Ireland granted undue tax benefits to Apple, and Apple's going to have to pay. They may have to repay up to 13 billion euros in taxes plus interest to regulators. Now, the Irish tax deal with Apple, that slashed Apple's taxes from 2003 to 2014, according to the European Union. The EU making these comments in an emailed statement on the Apple tax decision. Again, Apple was said to poised to face a billions of arrears in the Irish tax case. And here's the real headline here. Apple may have to repay up to 13 billion euros in tax plus interest, according to European regulators. Now, they're going to have a news conference at 6 o'clock to specify that. Of course, the worst-case scenario we were reporting earlier could have been $19 billion, but you don't know with the arrears just how much is that's going to be. The headline again, they could pay up to $13 billion in taxes, euros in taxes, plus interest. Now, Apple shares in Frankfurt trading, they've reached the session lows right now, down 1.1%, 105.63. Again, we'll have a news conference coming up at 6 o'clock from the European Union with the specifics on Apple. It is 5:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly, Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets, corporate news. And we're joined by Ed Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Spotify, that's a good deal, $9.99 a month subscription fee. But as they look to go public, is that something they can maintain?
Short answer, no. And it's time for what is the leading independent music streaming service to step up its game here. Spotify has the slight problem that 70% of its revenue goes straight back to the music industry. Those fees aren't necessarily the problem. The issue here is the pricing structure, $9.99 a month for its all-you-can-eat subscription service. And it's a relic of the era of Tower Records. It's obsolete. Spotify really needs to start thinking now about segmenting the market so it can appeal to more people. Look what goes on in other subscription businesses like video games and cable TV. Why can't Spotify do a $3.99 offer limited to, say, country music if you're into that sort of thing? Or get creative with a premium option, $20 a month, say, for high-quality sound and other goodies. Spotify has the weight to throw its weight around with the music industries to get the deals to let it to do this. But it's got to be slightly careful here not to cannibalize its user base. But the point here is that more price points would be good for Spotify's central mission, and that's to persuade more people to sign up for paid subscriptions. Spotify has three times more users on its free music streaming option, which includes ads, than the 40 million paying customers it had of June. Now, we're not saying that there's no future of music without tolls, but Spotify's free option here is too good.
All right, Ed, thanks. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/GAFLY or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
Thank you very much, John. Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso discusses a federal lawsuit that challenges the New York Taxi and Limousine Commission's requirement that all New York taxis have GPS trackers. She speaks to Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University, and George Newhouse, a partner at Denton's.
George, the court ruled on technical grounds. Tell me about the main decision.
Well, again, the main decision is whether the cab driver, Al Nahal, had a legitimate Fourth Amendment privacy interest, and whether specifically the placement of this GPS device in the cab, which all the taxis, I understand, are required to have in New York, constituted a search. There was no warrant for the search, and so he claimed in the district court below and on appeal that his Fourth Amendment rights were violated because he didn't consent and they hadn't applied for a warrant to obtain all of this data that showed apparently that he was overcharging customers.
So, Peter, if another cab driver comes forward and says, I bought this cab, I've had this cab before the GPS was put in, what would the Second Circuit rule?
Well, it's not clear what they would say. It certainly would be a stronger case, and it might actually force the Second Circuit to confront the issue of, Is there a reasonable expectation of privacy, or is the focus going to be on this property interest, property evasion, property invasion idea? So what you can see the Second Circuit doing in the El Nahal case is it's struggling to try to figure out how do these Fourth Amendment principles apply in a digital world where you're going to want to have every cab monitored just to see where they are. Is there a problem? Are they overcharging? Things like that. So it really is, this is a first step and not any kind of final decision.
That's Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University, and George Newhouse, a partner at Dentons, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays, 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, the FBI is investigating hacking attacks on at least two state election boards, one of which resulted in data being stolen. That's according to an alert from the agency's cyber division, which says a majority of data stolen from one state's Board of Elections website occurred in July. An attempt to hack into the election system of another state was made in August. While election boards maintain voter registration data, most of that information is public. The Federal Bureau of Investigation memo was first reported yesterday by Yahoo News. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. S&P E-mini futures down a single point. Dow E-minis also down a single point. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 7 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris up by 0.9%. And the DAX in Frankfurt is higher by 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 7/32. The yield at 1.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
More than 200,000 people have registered to receive benefits under a proposed $14.7 billion settlement among carmaker Volkswagen, federal regulators, and consumer class action plaintiffs. The agreement would resolve some claims against VW over the company's use of illegal emissions technology in diesel vehicles. The tentative settlement is expected to be approved in October. Sardi's is suing Washington area caterers and restaurateurs for alleged infringement of the legendary Broadway restaurant's trademarks. The D.C. area Sardi's were founded in the early 1970s. The New York Sardi's has been in operation since 1927. And the restoration of daily scheduled flights between the U.S. and Cuba could help bring a quicker end to the current travel ban. Officials at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce say this could also lead to another look at lifting the ongoing trade embargo.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit BNA.com.